Hey everybody, welcome back to The Breakdown. I'm Luke, as you all know, and joining me today is Mr. Frank Lucas. Welcome.
Hey Luke, thank you so much for having me. So grateful to be able to be a part.
Yeah, thanks for joining. You know, what you shared on Sunday, it really spoke to me. You know, we were having this impulse in worship for, you know, calling back the prodigal. And I was standing up at the front, you know, with people that the Lord had put on my heart. And I was envisioning that same table that Pastor Mike O'Brien had illustrated with us when he spoke. And I was remembering that. And then even like the older brother, because I think there's also, we always have to confront that older brother within us, those of us who are in the house, who go to the table.
Sure.
And we do have this tendency to judge the people that we're sitting at the table with. The thought came to me, I believe it was the Holy Spirit, you know, if the friends that were on my heart to see come to the Lord, and it was this thought of, would you be okay if their ministry or what I did through them was bigger than what I do through you? And I was like, whoa. And I'm like, yes, in theory, right? Because I know the answer. But then you feel that flesh part of you that's like, oh, I think part of me would not like that.
Yeah.
But I was able to like work through that. And so now I guess like that was what God had for me to eat on Sunday.
Oh, so good. Yeah, there's like a big disconnect between principle and practice.
Yeah.
Right? And so like we can know and understand something, but then there's like the knowing and understanding of it.
Exactly.
And you know, you can't see us, but like the idea of like head to heart, right?
Yes.
Like there's a difference. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think the idea of preparing the table is something, obviously, it's been a theme for a while. I mean, going back, I mean, I don't remember when Pastor Mike shared, I want to say it was back in November sometime.
Yeah.
And the altar was set with all
the
long
China. Sunday.
Yeah. And so that's a theme. But then when we started talking about the prodigals, right, we so often think it's about the younger brother who went out and, you know, not to go through Luke 15, you know, the lost and found, right? We're talking about the sheep, and then we talk about the coin, and then we talk about the son. But sometimes we forget that Jesus was talking to and about the Pharisees. Mm. And you can almost like hear it in his voice if you actually read through it and try to picture this playing out. He keeps saying it, it's like, do you get it yet? Like, do you get it? You know, you can almost like picture like when you're trying to have a conversation with a child, like, and you just want to shake them. And he's like, do you get, like,
I've told this to you three times.
Yeah, exactly. Like literally, right? Like I've told you three different stories and you're still missing it. So he adds that next layer, which is where he starts talking about the older brother. Mm-hmm. And so I started thinking about that a little bit in my own context and my own story. And it's been a challenging season for myself. And I started to sense in myself, like I had this little bit of an older brother mentality. And there's a great book on it, by the way. If anyone listening likes to read, it's called The Prodigal God by Timothy Keller. And he does a great job, talking about the two, right? But I started thinking about myself in that context, and I started thinking about the meal when Pastor Zach started talking about like preparing the fattened calf and all these different things. And, you know, you give him a ring, but not the good ring, right? Like you give him the Amex with a credit limit, not the unlimited, right? And all this sort of thing. And I just had this picture of like going down to the table and like taking a plate and then going back up to my room. And I remember a couple times in my childhood and adolescent years of doing that. And like, even though I had the meal, I missed out on the meal. Mm-hmm. Right. And, it just started like just the kind of the thoughts started pouring in, and the Lord started painting more and more pictures and all these different things. And so I kind of felt the propensity to share that. Like I felt like the Lord had given me that word, and I didn't know if it was just for me or for the church,
right, you know?
And so I wasn't going to walk up front. So I texted John, you know, I'm fortunate to have this cell phone, and I'm sorry, John, you're going to get texts now on Sundays. But I texted him and I was like, I don't know. And he's like, what do you think? And so I just didn't respond. Like I was like, nah, I'm good. I just wanted to share it. Like I did my part, right? And but then that song came on, No Longer Slaves. And, you know, And so, you know, one thing led to another and I came up and I was able to share. But I think so often we treat Sunday mornings and more importantly, our faith journey in our relationship with the Lord is a little bit more of a buffet. where we get to go and we get to pick and choose and we get to try to figure out what combinations are going to be pleasing to us, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you pick this and you pick that and you pick this and you pick that, and all of a sudden the plate that is prepared for you is exactly what you envisioned and exactly what you wanted.
Right.
But you contrast that with when you go to like fine dining and there's a chef's special, right? And it'll usually say something to the effect of like no substitutions. And the reason for that is because they have carefully prepared and paired certain things to go together that complement one another that you would have otherwise probably never would have put together. Yeah. Right. And so that picture kind of came to me, like the Lord is preparing all these things for you, but he's also preparing all the other seats around you and who are supposed to be in those seats. Right. And I think the word that came to me was nourishment specifically. And it was around this idea of, I'll never be fully nourished unless I actually sit down at the table and enjoy with a grateful heart the meal that the Lord has provided for me with those he has me seated with. And in this last season for me, I feel like I've been trying to kind of pick and choose a little bit, and I've been a little reluctant, you know, in some respects. But there was a, I joked about it on Sunday. I was like, yeah, it was the green beans and the boiled onions. I don't know why I said that. I like both of those, right? You know, I could have picked something that I didn't like, I guess. But sometimes the Lord has something for you, and you don't want it. In the same way, like as a father, I prepare meals for my kids. I'm like, just try it. Like, I know you're going to love it. Frankie is like the worst with this, right? Aww. My little guy, he's 9. And I'm making something and I'm doing all these different things. Like, you just have to try it. And he's like, I don't want to. I don't like you know. And he goes through and gives me all these reasons, which are good reasons. But then I get him to finally try it, kicking and screaming. And you can just tell, like, he'll never admit it, but he's like, that's what I needed. And I look back and I say, all right, Lord, in this season, yes, like, I was kicking and screaming. And there were certain components of this that I didn't get. And maybe I still don't get, but yet you knew, you know, what your son needs. And it just, yeah. And it's not till we come to that place that we can be nourished. Amen. Right. And so it's about having that meal. And I think that ties in so nicely to kind of what Zach was talking about through the whole morning.
Yes.
And it was just, it's amazing how the Lord does that. It's not by coincidence. There was no conversations that took place up front ahead of time or whatever. Right. But it just started to unfold. Which is the, you know, it's the wonder of just what the Lord does,
right,
week
right.
in and week out. And right. so I think it tied in pretty nice there. So
right. And then right after you spoke, Marianne got up and she shared about how, you know, the Lord healed her of this fear. And oftentimes that's what the meal does to us. It's for our healing. It's for our nourishment. It's for our development. And the Lord has processes that he guides us through. But it starts with us believing that he is a good father, that he does love us, that he does have our interests at heart. And even when, you know, circumstances aren't exactly what we want, we can go to him. And that's why I, you know, that image of a meal in the presence of your enemies, like that's the lesson that I draw from that is your circumstance can be completely against you. But his desire for you is for you to not fight, but to sit down and eat with him. With him. And then from that place, it's like he will show you the truth that you need to set you free, to bring you healing. And so that his work can continue to grow in and through you.
Yeah. Oh, so good. Yeah, there is a like there's a fullness at the table. And I can't help but think of like a like around a major holiday, right? Whether it's you know, sitting around the table after Easter services, Resurrection Sunday, or Christmas, or Thanksgiving, which I love. And, you know, there could be maybe a propensity for some to overeat. But what I love is very rarely would someone walk away from one of those tables without that feeling of fullness. And it's little to do with the food that's provided and more to do with the fellowship and then who you're engaging with at the table. folks that you haven't been with for a while, or maybe folks that you have, but there's something about those moments that leave you feeling full and leave you feeling satisfied. But it's because you took the time, you set aside the time to actually pull up a chair and sit down with intentionality where something was able to happen. Right. And that's what I think we tend to rush through. Like, we have a drive-through culture, right? Like, I'm on the road all day, every day now, and I go through more drive-throughs than I should probably admit, right? I got a notification on how many times I've been to Dunkin' this year recently on the app, or last year. It was not good, right? But then you wonder, like, why do I feel not right?
Right.
And so if there's something askew in the way you're feeling in your relationship with the Lord, and more importantly with us, well, not more importantly, but with others, but more importantly with the Lord, I said that backwards. You have to kind of look and see, like, am I going through the drive-through, or am I actually sitting down and being patient in his presence, which is what we see Mary put on display for us time and time and time again in Luke 10 and then also in John 11 and 12.
Amen. Amen. Excellent. And we're going to dive into that part of the message. But as you were talking, I was just remembering how, you know, back in the garden, before sin entered the world, like, what did Adam and Eve get to enjoy? They got to enjoy God walking with them in the garden in the cool of the day. And the entire story has been about God wanting to restore that relationship with us. And so it's so appropriate that we talked about this on a Sunday, that the message was about worship, because so much about worship is about preparing our hearts and coming into it. So Pastor Zach took us through John 12, and he took us through the scene where Mary, the sister of Lazarus, anoints Jesus with expensive perfume. And he looked at five W's of worship. So it was welcoming, willingness, waste, worth, and window. So the first W is welcoming. And Pastor Zach brought out this whole concept of, you know, we have to welcome Jesus. So Jesus can be among us, but he might not be welcome.
Yeah. Right. And like, I think it was, he did paint a beautiful picture on Sunday of this idea of, we've all been in those scenarios, like, where you're there, but you don't feel welcome, or there's someone off in the corner that's not actually welcome as part of the group. Like, there's this clique forming or what have you. And we take it for granted, you know, and I loved how he did break down, like, no, it's not that we don't believe in God's omnipresence, right? Like, of course we know he's in the room. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a non-negotiable, that's a primary doctrinal belief that we have, but that doesn't mean that we have hearts that are open and in tune to him, right? And so, you know, the fact that, you know, we know that there was this welcoming because it said they had prepared a supper for him. What I love is it says they prepared a supper for him. But if you read the previous chapter, you know that it's in response to what he just did, right? And it's, you know, so Jesus had just raised Lazarus, right? And so now Lazarus is there, and Mary's there, and Martha's there, and guess what? She's serving again, right? Like, if you go back to Luke 10, but you see, like, they've gone out of their way to prepare a meal, and there is significance to that. Right. And I think sometimes we overlook that just in the very beginning, in that opening, those opening verses, they're in Bethany. And so if you do a deep dive into the study and understanding of that, it's literally about being poor. Right. So for them to go and prepare an extravagant meal was already a sacrifice.
Wow. Wow.
Right. And so just to go on and to put it on. And we talked about, like, the way we, you know, we put out the china at the holidays and we do all these sorts of things. And so for us to create a welcoming environment for the presence of God should come at a little bit of a sacrifice. And so we already start to see that theme starting to develop, that it requires great intentionality.
Yeah. I like how you highlighted sacrifice, because we talk about the sacrifice of praise and the, you know, offering your body as a living sacrifice. And I think a lot of times when we say that, we're saying it from a place of, I'm okay right now. But then when it actually comes to do it and you're like, wow, the sacrifice actually feels like a sacrifice, we're kind of surprised by how it goes down.
Yes.
But it's like, we have to do it, but it's hard.
Yeah. And not to get too far ahead of ourselves here, because we're going to talk about the worth and what it seems like waste and all this. I said, but when you think about what the sacrifice was, and that they made, it was quite literally a sacrifice of provision. Mm-hmm. Right. We're talking about a year's salary, and we read it, right? And we understand it, and we can hear pastors talk about it and understand the idea of it being, you know, one denarius or denarius, excuse me, would be a full day's wage, and then 300 denarii would be a salary, mm-hmm. right? You didn't work on the Sabbath nor on holy days. And so about 300 working days. I think, fail to realize that. Like, you know, just take a time out for a second and think about 1 year's income mm-hmm. and pouring it out in a single moment.
Right.
What would you have to bear witness to? What would you have to receive to sacrifice in that sort of way? We read John 11. Mm-hmm. We see that Mary observed her brother being raised from death to life.
Yes.
And so what seems crazy to me is only crazy if perhaps I haven't experienced the same sort of, or I haven't acknowledged mm-hmm. that same sort of thing, right? And so when we look out and we can't understand it or make sense of it, it may not be because it's being wasteful or anything like that, but maybe it has more to do with where the lack is mm-hmm. in our own faith and acknowledgement of who Christ is and what he's already done and accomplished.
You know, when you're saying that, I'm thinking about how when Paul in Philippians, when he's talking about us praying and asking God things, he says, with thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. It's so, how oftentimes we leave that out. Like, I know I have, like, probably 9 times out of 10. It's like, I just go and say, God, I need this. Like, this is my lack. But Paul is saying, no, you need to, with prayer and thanksgiving, make your request known to God. Mm-hmm. Because it's in that we, our faith is built, because we're like, he's done all of this. He will continue to provide for me, and I will continue to pour out my life for him.
Yeah.
Another super cool thing that's coming to me too is how this is happening so close to Jesus's death. Mm-hmm. So Jesus himself is about to pour himself out as an act of worship very, very soon. Mm-hmm. And if he gave everything like that, that really should fuel our worship. And that should fuel, you know, me confronting attitudes that Satan would want to rise up within my heart of looking down on other people, or, you know, having a judgmental attitude that's going to keep me from receiving from the Father, from giving glory to the Father and pointing others to him. And we come to that second W, willingness. And that is, to me, like, that's really like you're confronting an attitude in yourself. Like Pastor Zach said, like, much of the bride has chosen barrenness, which manifests as like a critical spirit, which blocks you from receiving.
Yeah, I think the idea that that hit me pretty hard when he said that is the bride has chosen barrenness. They're choices that we make, right? He's not going to force us into a place of worship or into a place where we're in his presence or any of that. The opportunity's been provided, but how we choose to engage with it, you know, and that really is the contrast that we see between the two sisters, you know, yes. Going back to Luke 10,
yeah.
And then even again in John 11 with the story of the raising of Lazarus, but then again here, we see Mary serving, albeit this time it doesn't say anything about her anxiousness and worry and any of that. But now we see Mary yet again at the feet of Jesus, right where she belongs. And it's when I think in light of the idea that, yeah, this is Jesus getting ready, like the triumphant entry hasn't happened yet. That's on the back end of John 12, right? That hasn't taken place yet, but Jesus knows what's coming and he sees this. He understands I love how that was shared on Sunday too. Zach talked about the prophetic preparation. I got a heart for alliteration. He even called me out on that in the message. It just hits right. But there was something there to that. And Even in that moment, Jesus was able to receive it full well knowing what the outflow of that was going to look like. And she didn't have to wait for that to worship. Mm-hmm. I think is what's cool, right? Like, as she was able to worship in this incredibly willing and sacrificial way, mm-hmm. ahead of that, because of what she's already seen, because of what she's already observed.
Amen. Amen. And so, you know, we've already kind of covered the waste and the worth, but, you know, Pastor Zach, when he's highlighting the waste and what she did when she poured out that entire bottle, he says how the fragrance filled the room, and the atmosphere changed. And so when we follow, because waste and worth to me are kind of going hand in hand here, because the Lord can lead us to do things that to other people look like a waste and look like, and it's like, this is a high worth. And I think it's first like confronting the idea that attitude inside of us, but then also like there have been times where it's like even like an expression of worship, like maybe like the Lord is calling you to raise your hands. And then now you're starting to think about other people, right? So that is keeping you, because now who are you worshiping, really? You're worshiping the people, not Jesus. And whereas like when you can set aside those attitudes and just look to Jesus and pour yourself out, there is a fragrance that is released. Like I've seen people worship and it's like, oh Lord, I want what they have.
Yeah, that's great. And I think there was reference to this too. He was talking about people dancing at the altar and all that, mm-hmm. and someone had a problem with it. And his first response, he said, like, why aren't you dancing? Mm-hmm. You know, rather than like try to be apologetic or anything like that. And that's where that whole barrenness piece comes in too, right? Is because we have the opportunity to either be joy-filled for that person and respond in worship ourselves, yeah. or we can be cynical. And let's face it, we live in a pretty cynical, judgmental culture. Mm-hmm. Right. And I know I've fallen prey to this time and time again.
Me too.
I'm so worried about
we're
perception.
Good New Englanders.
Yeah.
Know?
Like I'm so worried yeah. about that. Right.
And yes.
Like even for me yes. this past Sunday, like that was a big part of my hesitation wasn't the word.
Right.
It wasn't my ability to communicate something.
Yep.
I was worried about the perception. Yes. Right. Like it's like, why does this guy want the mic right now? Right.
Right.
And I think we get so caught up on that we start to lose sight of what it is we're actually yes. called to in that moment and yes. why we're called to it. Because true worship should be pretty undignified, right? And we talked about that in Samuel when Jesus was, excuse me, when David was more undignified than this, right, before the Lord. We talk about Mary, not only the sacrifice of the gift, not only being at the feet of Jesus, and I want to talk about that in a minute. There's something that kind of stood out to me with that, which is a pretty lowly place to be. She let her hair down and dried off his feet with her hair. And I can't think of like the jaws that must have dropped in that room in this moment, right? And culturally, we have a hard time with that because, you know, we walk around with women with their hair down all day, all the time.
Yeah.
That was no, like that was a big no, right? But another part of her sacrifice wasn't just being undignified, right? And like kind of letting it all before the Lord. It was saying like, what do I have? How can I be used? Mm. And it was the oil and it was her hair. Right, that she used in the most lowly of ways, but to provide honor to the only one really worthy of it.
Amen.
And so I think the idea that like it seems like a waste and it seems odd and it seems all these other things to everyone else, but to her, it was just a natural response to who he is and what he's done. Mm. And when we try to help the world understand it, we can't. And when the world tries to understand it, they can't. nor will they, right? Worship is a personal response. Do we worship corporately together, communally together? Of course. But it is a son, a daughter in the presence of their father.
Yeah.
And that's, and it, there's an intimacy there despite who else is in the room.
Amen.
And she knew and understood that intimacy despite all the people around the table and despite Martha running around with a bus bucket trying to clean up all the dishes, right?
Right, right.
She didn't allow anything to stand in the way of that intimacy.
Amen. Amen. You know, as you're talking, I'm remembering in Luke 7, there's like another setting where Jesus is anointed. And here it says it was a woman who, she was a sinful woman. And she also pours out, she goes to him and she breaks the alabaster vial of perfume and she's crying and she's wetting his feet with her tears and she's also wiping them with her hair. And then Simon, who was, you know, running the banquet, like they all, there's people who are in indignation because of all this display that's happening. And Jesus, you know, long story short, he gets to the point. It's he who has been forgiven much loves much. And, you know, when you think about what Jesus has done for you, then, yeah, you are going to worship him.
Yeah, it's just, it's a natural response. And so if I'm having a hard time understanding someone else's worship and, man, I would never do that. Our first look, just like he says, right? Like, man, like plink in your own eye,
yes.
Right? Versus, right? Like, rather than be judgmental on their worship, start to ask, like, well, why am I having a hard time worshiping in this moment? What am I holding back? Like, what is my jar? Where is my jar of nard, right?
Yes.
And like, why am I holding on to that for dear life when, you know, and I think that's where we have to get to, and we have to be real about it. But too often, we're not. You know, bring it back to the table. Like, you know, we've gone through the buffet. We're good. You know, I went up twice this week. You know, I'm good. I hit the altar. I'm good. You know, I'm full.
Right.
Right. But you're not full.
Right.
You haven't been nourished. When you've been nourished, the only response is true worship, and that's what Mary presents for us in this day. And that's, I think that leads us to that last one, which is it provides a glimpse into what heaven looks like, right? It's a window.
Yes.
And again, with the W's, the alliteration, well done, Zach. But it does provide us a window into what that looks like. But there's always going to be people on the other side of that window that don't know and don't understand and question. What's interesting is I've mentioned it a couple of times, but in Luke 10, so we see Mary in a couple instances, but in Luke 10 with the story of Martha and Mary, right, where they're preparing a meal for Jesus and Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus and Martha gets all bent out of shape because she's just wasting her time sitting there, right? And then in John 11, when Lazarus has been raised from the dead, and then again in John 12, those are kind of like the three key areas, if you will, that we see this discourse of who she is and get a glimpse into her heart. But in Luke 10, she's rebuked by Martha for her worship. And then again, in John 12, she's rebuked for her worship by Judas. And it was by the people who, while in proximity to Jesus, didn't have the posture before Jesus. And we have to know and understand that. And we have to try to protect ourselves against that. Because if we're not careful, we're going to listen to the rebuke. We are going to look around when we're worshiping rather than worship like David, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to be wondering like, wow, did I really, you know, like whatever it could be. And I think that window, like understanding that there's always going to be people on the other side of the window, and we have to decide who are we here to worship and who are we going to listen to?
Yes.
And when I'm at the feet of Jesus, are my eyes fixed on him?
Right.
Or are they fixed on the eyes that are looking at me?
Right. And I'm thinking another tendency that we have with that is, okay, I got to find somebody else who sees what I'm seeing right now too.
Mm-hmm.
And we can agree this is a waste.
Yes.
This isn't the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And then we feed each other's critical spirit.
Yes. And now we're barren, right? And now we're lacking worship, and then it's cyclical and it feeds. Whereas, you know, if we come in and we just worship and just let it go, like that'll reciprocate too. right? And so you have a choice. And I think too often we get a little concerned more with what others are thinking rather than the one who we're worshiping.
Well, thank you so much for coming and sharing this from your heart with us and your wisdom. You know, it's like I just hear like a pastor teacher voice anytime you talk, and it's wonderful. Like I always feel like I learn so much. Would you just bless us and pray for us as we go?
Yeah, I'd love to, Luke. And there's one thing I wanted to share that as I was thinking about after you texted me what I wanted to share this morning, and it kind of goes back through that discourse.
Go with it.
But it's we see a very common theme where Mary sits at the feet of Jesus in Luke, where she learns who he is. Mary falls at the feet of Jesus in John 11, where she surrenders to him and his authority. And then in the next chapter in John 12, she kneels at his feet, where she worships. And that's what we are called to. We are called to learn who he is, surrender to his ways and the meal he has before us, so that we can kneel at his feet and offer our true worship. And so, Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to be able to come and to share and maybe break down and dive into your word just a little bit. And Lord, we just pray that these words that have been shared today, as we reflect upon your holy word, Lord, would just marinate in those that are listening, Lord, that they would marinate in our souls, Lord, that they would stir something up, Lord, that it would push something out.
Yes.
But Father, yes, that it would ultimately lead us to offer something up, Father, in the way of sacrifice, in the way of true worship. Lord, it's we're praying for just a welcoming spirit, for a welcoming atmosphere for you, Lord, and help us cultivate that, Lord, and a willingness to worship in any way that you've called us to. Lord, despite how some may see it as waste, and Lord, in understanding the true worth of it, Father, that we would ultimately just peek through that window of eternity with you. And so, Father, we just thank you for who you are. Lord, we thank you for what you've done. And it's in response to that, that we worship you with all of who we are. And we pray these things in your name.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Frank. Thank you, family. Let's go out. Let's be living sacrifices, and we'll see you on Sunday. Can't count on